Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ, and welcome to West End. If you are with us today, worshiping online or here in the sanctuary, we invite you to register your attendance. We always want to know the people with whom we are worshiping. Also, I want to let you know of a couple of ways that we are journeying together as the church that you can participate now and in weeks to come. So next Sunday, it's the start of the holy season of Advent. I can't believe it. It's December 1st next Sunday. And so with that comes all sorts of wonderful opportunities to engage more deeply in your life of faith and in our mission with our community. During the Sundays of Advent from 8:30 to noon, we will be hosting our Advent Missions Market. That will be in Reed Hall. This is a great way to support our missional partners. And you can go before or after worship. Also, we celebrate that next week, December 4th, we will be hosting our Messages of Hope workshop. This is going to be an opportunity where, as a congregation, we're going to see the way that the prophetic texts live in a way of sharing messages of hope that also invite us to share messages of hope with people in our city. Specifically, we'll be writing letters together for our brothers at Riverbend Prison so that Pastor Stacy can take them to them on the second Sunday of the month. We're also celebrating as part of the season of Advent that on December 8th, we will have our Advent Wreath Workshop. That will be from 4 to 5:30 in the gym, an incredible opportunity for us as a church to come together intergenerationally and to share in that wonderful moment. Finally, we are grateful that next Sunday will be the return of the Reverend Dr. Carol Cavan-Dillon, as she is returning from her sabbatical renewal leave, and we're grateful for the opportunity to receive her back in worship as she preaches in leading our church through the Advent season. Today is a feast day in the church. It's Reign of Christ Sunday, and I look forward to learning alongside you how Christ is leading us to be his people today.
Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. God exalted Jesus, our Savior, and gave him
the name above all names.
One day every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth. Let us lift up our voices in praise. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions this morning with the confidence of children of God. God of glory, Jesus came as God in flesh to proclaim a kingdom that is not of this earth. We confess that too often, we miss the signs of that kingdom breaking in around us. We ignore the call to join the work of advancing peace and justice for all peoples. We choose lives that glorify ourselves and our earthly treasures while harming our neighbors and your creation. Forgive us, we pray. Turn our hearts back toward your present love. Help us to follow you as Lord, to be receptive to your teachings, and to live in your spirit, hastening the day when your kingdom will come into its fullness. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. The great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Amanda and Matt Whipple bring their daughter before God and before this community of faith for baptism.
Amanda and Matt, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? So say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with a church which Christ has opened to all peoples? If so, say we do. And Amanda and Matt, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. Great. Congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this sweet child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Matt and Amanda, what name shall be given to this child? Lillian Rose. All right, Lillian. Okay, great. Sweet girl. Lillian Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite your parents to lay hands on you, and Pastor Shannon too. And we're going to pray for God to work in your life. Lillian Rose, may the Holy Spirit be at work in you and in your life, that you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. I'm going to take a walk with you, Lillian Rose. And I'm going to show you your church family. Y'all, I'm the lucky one that gets to hold this sweet girl today. What a treat. So I know that your eyes are still forming, and you're able to see a little bit farther every day of who's here. And I want you to know that right now, even if you're not able to see everyone who's in this congregation, you have a full house of people who are promising their love to you. And you are not only going to receive from them so many gifts, you're going to share your gifts with them. You're going to lead us in the little way of God and what it means to be followers of Jesus. And Lillian Rose, you've got all the time in the world to do this, but I have to tell you, we just can't wait to watch you grow up. Because you're going to lead us in what it means to grow up as people who follow Jesus Christ.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Lillian Rose. It is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Lillian Rose to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks to all God's Lillian Rose. We welcome you in your Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, in this congregation and the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, that in every God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38, part A. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 881 in your Pew Bible or on page 474 in the Story Bible. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not originate from this world. If my kingdom originated from this world, my followers would be fighting, so I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Right, I'm going to invite our children to come forward. If you want to join Pastor Shannon and Miss Emily and I, come on up. I've got a prop today, too, so watch out. Come on up, y'all. Very good. Okay. So, as our friends are making their way up here, I have a question. Who here is on Thanksgiving break or is about to be on Thanksgiving break? Yeah, that's right. So one of my family's favorite things to do on Thanksgiving break, always has been, even when I was a little boy, is we love to watch a lot of movies. Does anybody else do that on Thanksgiving? And y'all, this week, Moana 2 comes out. I know, it's huge. Anybody excited? Anybody going to see Moana 2? That's right. Yes, that's right. We will go see it. But we love watching Disney movies. We love watching these stories of different princesses and princes and kings and queens. I'm a big Lion King fan. Anybody else like Lion King? I know. And we'll even sometimes we'll dress up like our favorite characters in our house. So I'd be curious, what do you think that kings and queens often wear? What do they wear?
Crowns.
They wear crowns. Like this? Is this a good example? In Disney movies, do you see the kings and queens wearing things like this? Is that right? Very good. Except Moana, she doesn't wear a crown. Simba doesn't wear a crown like this. But you get the point. So today, what we are celebrating that Christ is the king. We are celebrating the reign of Christ. We're celebrating that Jesus is the Lord of love and the Prince of Peace. And that Jesus doesn't have to wear a big fancy crown or nice clothes to do that. In fact, the way that Jesus was and is a king was through a life of service and humility. He gave his life to sharing with people, to lifting other people up, and to caring for people that everyone else just sort of walked by and didn't see. And Jesus, to be his followers, you don't have to dress up in any sort of costume. Jesus wants you to follow him just as you are. And so this week, as you're watching all sorts of different Disney movies, maybe if I see you at the theater at Moana 2, let's remind each other that even as we love these fairy tale stories, that Jesus is the true king who leads us in the way of life. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the love of Jesus. And we pray that we might be his faithful followers in the world today. Might you show us the little way of love. All of this we ask in his name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask 3, 4, 5-year-olds and kindergartners if you can go with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily to Children's Church. And all the rest of us are going to stay here and hear how Jesus speaks to us today. Very good. Awesome. And as our children are finding their way to Children's Church, I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my lips and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it was my third grade teacher who first set the seed of resistance, the repulsion that there exists a king or a queen or any source of authority who could offer direction in my life. And her lesson plan was genius. This is what she did. It was October, so the class was still forming its identity. And she had half of the class be kings and queens. The other half of the class, we were colonists. And so after she determined which side you were on, she then proceeded to pass out precious school supplies like workbooks and erasers and pencils and markers. And we all got an equal share of those precious school supplies. We celebrated that. And then over the course of the week, she demanded that we, the colonists, hand over our precious school supplies to the kings and queens for no reason. And friends, I will tell you this. You have never seen a group of third graders care so deeply about political theory. I was chanting, screaming, no taxation without representation. I had no clue what that meant. But I was irate that someone was taking what I saw as mine. Here in the United States, we are from a young age baptized into the gospel of independence. And there's good reason for that. The pages of history bear witness to the abuses of monarchs, the long train of abuses. We might quote the Declaration of Independence there. Even today in the present, we see how many different institutions abuse the public trust and use their authority to prey on people. I think every person in this room likely has an experience of someone in power using their power to do harm and to not bring healing and hope. And so maybe that is why we all can admit that there's something within us that's perplexed, curious, maybe even resistant to this confession that Jesus Christ is King. We heard David read the gospel passage that Pilate's interrogation with Jesus begins with that question, so you are a king. John gives the most attention to the details of this trial, but all four gospels begin with that same question, so you are a king. The lectionary sort of plops us right in the middle of Good Friday today, so I want to catch you up to speed to where we are in the story and life of Jesus. This is the morning after Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He put up no defense. In fact, in John's gospel, we learn that he helps his arresters arrest him. He asks them, "Who are you looking for?" They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." We get one of the great I am statements of John's gospel when he says, "I am." Already, Jesus has been beaten by the guards. He's been questioned by the chief priests, and now he's before the governor of Judea. The people of God were under the occupation of Rome, and to be honest, becoming the governor of Judea was not like the prime appointment within the Roman Empire. They would much prefer Gaul or Spain if you're from Italy, right? And so Pilate was known in those times. We learn a lot from the Jewish historian Josephus, that Pilate was known as a cold-spirited ruler. He did not care to get to know his Jewish subjects. He saw them merely as a source of tax revenue, really. And in many ways, all he was trying to do was to keep an unsteady, unsettled peace for the sake of the money to keep flowing into the coffers of the Roman Empire. I love the way that the writer Frederick Buechner describes Pilate. So creative. He said, Pilate is a party line politician with an eye for a promotion, the sort of guy that makes the greatest decisions of his life before he even eats his breakfast. What a great description. And so Jesus right now is before Pilate. He's before this judge who has sold the truth in so many different conflicting ways that he can't even begin to discern the way and the truth and the life right before him. And we hear in this encounter that Jesus wants to differentiate to Pilate, to you, and to me, how his kingdom is different. He wants to make crystal clear that his kingdom is not grounded in the coercion and violence of earthly governments. And we heard this in verse 36, that he says that if my kingdom were from here, from this world, then my followers would be fighting so that I would not be arrested. And friends, I've been reading this story as long as I've been in church. I've been studying it closely for 20 years, and I've never recognized that the way Jesus distinguishes his kingdom is through the nonviolent resistance of his followers. He brings that up again in verse 37 when he says that those who are living in the truth are the people who hear my voice and are obedient to it. Jesus is not differentiating his kingdom with some sort of political theory or policy agenda. He's attaching himself to a people who bear truth in their way of nonviolence, who bear truth in their meekness and steadiness in a world of dominance and possession, who bear witness to the truth and their willingness to share all their resources so that all people can have plenty. Jesus' kingdom is different, and it requires a different kind of following. Today is Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the Christian year. You might not have known that. It's the last Sunday of the Christian year. And it's a day where we celebrate how after a year of being in ministry together, journeying with Jesus, journeying alongside our neighbors, experiencing fellowship and life together, it's this opportunity for us to reaffirm our fundamental identity as followers of Jesus. It's one of the youngest feast days of the church year. It's 99 years old. It's younger than West End by 52 years. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925, and I just want to give you a snapshot of where the world was. The world was still recovering from the extraordinary death that came with World War I and the Spanish flu pandemic. There was this cynicism that was seeping through so much of culture, this disillusionment in human progress after the war. In Italy, where the Pope was sitting, Mussolini had declared himself supreme leader. In the neighboring country of Germany, a young German politician named Adolf Hitler wrote Mein Kampf and published it from prison in 1925. Here in the United States, things were roaring for those who were rich. And the almighty dollar had an unprecedented authority in our everyday life. And in the South, racism was codified in our culture, in our laws, in our way of being church. There was, you know, United Methodist Church. There was the Methodist Episcopal South and the Methodist Church. It's a part of our history to remember that the Methodist Episcopal South split off from the Methodist Church for the sake of keeping slavery. That's where we were in 1925, when the church saw it as essential, vital for our life and our witness, that we reaffirm that we follow Jesus. And so today, we are celebrating alongside Christians all across the world in places of violence and division, in places of plenty and peace. We are celebrating with Christians all across the world that Jesus of Nazareth is King of Kings, Lord of Love, Prince of Peace. And I want to put this another way so that we can parse through the oddity of what we're saying here. We are claiming that a first century Jewish man who in his first year of life had to flee as a political refugee and who in his last moments here on earth was condemned as a state criminal by Pilate for charges of sedition. We are claiming Jesus of Nazareth as the ultimate authority in our lives, in our politics, and our way of being church, and the way we steward our finances, and the way we organize our home, and the way we care for the earth, and the way that we recreate and have fun. Jesus is the authority. And this is the moment where if I were in third grade, I would raise my hand and be like, hey, teacher, I have a question. I've got a question. Because this requires us to receive and to give thanks for a different kind of gospel. It's the gospel of radical dependence. We need Jesus' saving grace to liberate us from sin and to live lives of truth in his Spirit. We need to begin our worship by confessing our divided loyalties and the way that our own obsession with power and privilege prevent us from faithfully pledging our allegiance to Jesus. We need to have a vision for the communion of the saints and the witness of the church that is liberated from nationalism. In a moment in time when it seems like the loudest voices or the secret algorithms hidden behind so much of our way with interacting with each other are tearing us apart, we need each other more than we could ever imagine. And what I have witnessed and what I've experienced is that radical dependence leads to unspeakable joy, y'all. It's the joy of celebrating Lily and Rose's baptism and all of us turning toward each other in that moment. Something we'll do again as we celebrate new members, them turning us back toward life in Christ as we reaffirm our commitment to Jesus and his mission. It's the joy of joining together with our entire city, as we did in March, to peacefully protest for gun reform so that our children can be safe in our schools and experiencing flourishing. It's the joy of a middle-aged white man who could just coast through his career without ever having doing the work, fully embracing anti-racism as spiritual formation, and experiencing the joy of Pentecost. It's the joy of all those civil rights leaders who, despite in the face of incredible resistance, were still able to sing freedom songs. It's the joy of those who might not have ever felt safe or at home at their own family Thanksgiving tables, finally experiencing belovedness and belonging at the family table of Jesus. It's the joy of the Lord that Jesus extends to us always, at all times, and all places, if we only listen for his voice. The world desperately needs right now not a different kind of leader, but rather a different kind of follower. Amen.
Respond to the word spoken to us today. I invite you to please rise in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin and on your screen. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I want to remind you that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or keep them silent in our hearts. If you'd like to share your prayer concerns with the pastoral team as we pray for them throughout the week, I would encourage you to fill out a prayer concerns card that is in the pew rack in front of you, or you can click on the link on the screen and share that with us. We pray for those concerns throughout the course of the week. Please take note of the prayer requests that are in your bulletin. I want to invite you to take that bulletin home with you and keep those prayer requests as part of your personal prayer time this week as we ask for God's grace to be in all situations. Today we want to celebrate with a rose on the table the birth of William Deal Johnson to Maggie and McGavick Johnson. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Mac Johnson, grandparents Carol and Rig Stevenson, and his great uncles, Monty Smith, Mark O'Brien, and Ricky Smith. We also celebrate today, I don't have this in my notes, but Cindy Seamer, our wonderful administrative assistant, her daughter Lauren gave birth to their beautiful child this weekend, and we are so excited to celebrate that with them. We also want to lift up our prayers to the family of Mary Louise Schell as they mourn her passing on November 20th at the age of 100. A private family service will be held this week in the Cloister Garden. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our hearts are turned to you today. We celebrate that you are a God of active presence, one who does not leave the worries of our world to us alone, but enters into the fray and extends your peace to all. In Jesus Christ, you express the love that we have for all, the love that you have for all creation by dwelling amongst us and offering yourself to us so that we may experience the King of Kings. Out of love, you take the mantle of leadership and live before us the life of a servant. As we worship today, we give thanks for that amazing truth. We give thanks for a love that knows no end, a compassion that breaks barriers. As we bask in that knowledge, let us strive to be more like you. May the places we have influence and leadership be places marked by love and compassion. May they be marked by joyful service. Help us to choose a life that offers your grace and love to all in so many different ways. Today we also give thanks that you hear and know each of the deep places of our hearts. Those things that give us joy, those things that tend to make our days a little lower. God, we offer them over to you, knowing that you know the intricate details of everything, that you are in those places, that you are in our lives, that you're in the lives of our loved ones, offering your peace and your embrace of love. And so out of trust, we offer them to you. We give thanks, O Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for the way that you show us how to lead and to live. May our hearts be warmed today with your grace so that we might go and share with the world the assurance that you love them, that you have what's best in mind for them, and that you are calling us all to simply love. And God, as we close this time of prayer, we close in those words that you taught us, and we say as one community, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to our time of offering now, I invite us to give back, gather and give our gifts to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While those here in the sanctuary, there will be plates passed during the offering time. We also have QR codes that are printed in the bulletin that you can scan and give electronically. Today, may we give with joy as we remember God's gracious generosity. Please be seated. We have a great joy today to see our family here at West End grow in many different ways, first through baptism this morning, and then through the joy of receiving new members. I'm so excited to introduce to you all Pamela and Jeff Carr, if you want to turn so they can see you, that's great. Jeff is a physician and professor at Vanderbilt University. He likes working in the yard and other outdoor activities. Pamela has been a volunteer teacher at Vanderbilt's Children's Hospital and the local school service. She enjoys cooking, birding, and traveling. They have two sons, Brennan, who is 28, who lives here in Nashville, and Eowyn, who is 24, who lives in Charlotte. They are transferring their membership from St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Pamela and Jeff, we are so excited that you have chosen to make West End your home of faith, and we are so excited to see what God is going to do through you and in you as we are working together in faith. So, I have a couple of questions for you guys. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And as members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. And I'd like to invite the rest of us, if you would please stand in body or in spirit, and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Jeff and Pamela are now entrusted into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you all to come to Reed Hall after the service and come and shake their hands and welcome them into the family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world.
Thank you.
Might we go forth into the world this day to be followers of the true King, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Love. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.